In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We know that Orthodox Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. And we know it's a way of life because Jesus taught us so. He never called Christianity a religion. It was the way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God, being gracious as he is, never forces anybody to do anything against their will. In the gospel today, in Mark, we have Jesus who is letting people know what this way is and what you're about to expect. And he paints the way throughout all the gospels, doesn't he? He describes what it looks like in the last chapters of the Gospel of John. When he's with his apostles, he makes it known in certain terms what life is going to be like in the world being a Christian. And we know that it is not easy. That's why Jesus calls it the narrow way. He doesn't call it the easy way or the smooth way. He calls it the narrow way. And so he has his disciples gathered around him now, and he's explaining now in no uncertain terms what they need to do. And it's very interesting, too, because it's instructions to his disciples to help them keep their sanity in the midst of a world that may be hostile to them. And what is he saying? He's saying, if you desire to follow me, if you desire to follow me. So he's giving them an invitation and a way out. But he's saying, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Focus totally on the gospel in your life. He desires to save his life, will lose it. He desires to lose his life for Jesus' sake and for the gospel, will save it. Now, what is he saying to his disciples at this time? He's mincing no words here. He says, if you're occupied with yourself, if you're occupied with your comfort, if you're occupied with how people think about you, if you're occupied by a bad day that's taking place, or even a tragedy in your life, if you are caved in on yourself in a way and immersed in yourself, if you're concerned totally about yourself, you're going to miss the whole point and you're going to get sick. Remember, Jesus is called the divine physician. He says, you're not going to be well. He says, it's like if you are self-referenced all the time, sometimes getting to the point of self-pity at times. It's like being in a room full of mirrors and all you see is yourself. And the way out to health is to replace those mirrors with windows that look out onto our fellow brothers and sisters who may be in need and onto our God who will strengthen us to do whatever we need for our mission. That's the message that Jesus is giving us. And the beautiful thing about this message is that he's telling us, and it's not you who are going to be doing these things. It's going to be me working through you. So don't be afraid of anything. It's always mystifying for me, and I say mystifying because it just goes beyond, I think, what sometimes our culture is sending us. You know, it's always about me. But when I read the stories of the martyrs, and we have a number of martyrs in our church today surrounding us, it's an amazing thing how these brothers and sisters in Christ, our mentors and our intercessors and our examples, these are men and women and children who saw Christ as their everything. And in the midst of extreme torment in various forms that we know, they would go into it with, sometimes with bliss and ecstasy, which in worldly sense makes no sense at all. But they go in with a peace and a joy that confounds the world. And we know that many times the torturers and those who were persecuting Christians saw their example of faith and were moved to be Christians themselves. Not by what these Christians said, but their witness to Christ, who they were. And it moved men and women who witnessed this to say, I'm a Christian too. And more often than not, they were martyred with the Christians that they were once persecuting, let alone torturing. We see this serenity and we go, how does that work in the midst of this darkness that people are encountering? How do they do it? Remember in my former life working in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I worked in the inner city for a number of years, and I would work with a lot of poor people, and they had nothing materially. And I would visit these people and I was absolutely astounded by their joy. And I said, they have nothing. And then they would give whatever they had to someone who was in need. I'm going, I'm thinking they don't have anything. And they're giving away what they don't have or what little that they have. And they're doing it with joy and freedom. And I think that's the watchword. These people are truly free, truly free. Now, some were caught in their own caved in on themselves ness, and they were miserable because all they thought about was themselves and everything was self-reference. It was like being in a trap and they couldn't get out, in a web. They couldn't free themselves. But Jesus gives us this freedom when he says, if you lose yourself for me and the gospel, if you forget yourself and remember me and your fellow brothers and sisters, you're going to experience a joy beyond end. You will have a lightness of spirit. You will be a light to those who are living in darkness. You will be an example. But as St. Paul said, and we know about St. Paul's life, it was anything but easy. And we remember that thorn that he had in his side. We don't know exactly what it was, but it was a source of misery for him every day. But yet, he was the Lord's most enthusiastic disciple, in the sense where he went to so many places, worked in so many communities, many times difficult communities to work in, and experienced all kinds of hardship, and yes, he experienced joy because he says, it was not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's what gave Paul this tremendous, tremendous joy and freedom. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's what the Lord gives us. And so at times when we're tempted to cave in on ourselves and maybe enter into the pity pot mode, which I think all of us have, in one time or other have encountered and done, we can ask the Lord at that moment to say, Lord, get me out of this and help me get out of myself so I can become for you and for those who are you in sometimes a very distressing disguise of people who we meet along the way. And it's amazing how that frees us. And so today, my brothers and sisters, as we gather together as a people of God, we're all in this together. We are all people who have been called by the Lord. And it's no accident that we are here as members of this church and visitors of this church, that we are here because you have guided us here. And we believe in your divine providence, that it conquers all, that Jesus has the last word in everything. That's why he said, don't be afraid. And so when we carry our cross, it's basically an acceptance of our humanity in whatever form it takes, in whatever situation we're in. We know that whatever we face, the Lord is carrying this cross with us. We are not carrying it alone. And that is why the cross ultimately is a sign of healing, because of its freedom, love, because that's what the cross is, and victory, which we all share with Christ. So as we've been invited personally by Jesus to be his disciples and followers, he will be with us in that, and he is grateful for us to have said yes to him, yes to his invitation. And the beauty is, and I'll leave you with this, when we fall, he will pick us up again. He will never let us lay in the ground. He will, as soon we can reach out sometimes our feeble hand, and the Lord will grab it, and he will raise us up again a zillion times if necessary. He will do that. That's how he operates. And that's why he loves us so much, that he calls us each by name. And his relationship with us is so personal and so loving. Like when we pray, the Lord is right there with us. He is looking at us as we are looking at him. What a gift. And so the Lord says, Lazarus, come forth. Comes out of that cave. It's very symbolic of what happens to us. Remove those bands around Lazarus and set him free. Let him leave that cave, that tomb, and let him come out into the fresh air, into life again. And that's a life that we all share. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind. Always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.